Thank you, Mr. Cruz. I very much appreciate a piece of wisdom my father taught me when I was a young man in my formative years, those first 5-8 years of our life, have a significant impact on our character and our personality as we grow up. He taught me that I should be a man of my word. He said that if I was not a man of my word was worthless, and that I would be worthless. He was trying to teach me to stop lying, which unfortunately I thought I had down to a fine art when I was 7 years old. I grew up and went to school at Imperial School in Pasadena, California. And a policy in the church, and it was a church school at the time, was that if you got in trouble at school, you were spanked, and then when you came home, your parents needed to show support for the authority at school and double the amount of swats. And so if I got 5 swats at school, I'd tell my parents when I got home I would get 10 swats when I came home. I did not like that very much. So I thought it would be a really great idea to tell my dad and mom that I did not get in trouble at school. And then I wouldn't get a spank when I got home. So this was working pretty good. It worked so well that I didn't come home and report spankings for a month that my dad bought me a special toy and brought it home. And it was a miniature printing press. My dad ran a 4-color printing press in Pasadena to pump out the Plain Truth, Good News, and other church publications. That was his baby. Printing press was really special to him, and I kind of knew that as a little boy, not thoroughly, but that was just a great present. I was so happy. And Dad decided to call the school and notify the teachers how proud he was of them and, say, hey, what have you been doing different that Jonathan changed his behavior so much and didn't get any spankings at school for the last month? And they said, what? So I was in a heap of trouble when Dad found out I'd been lying for a month. And he took me in to give me the twice as many swats. Well, I think the last time had been 20 swats for a lie. So this would be up to 40 with a paddle. And this is not hitting. You know, it was spanking. It was out of love. And but Dad started to spank me. And he just stopped and broke down crying. And he says, one day when you get in trouble, you're going to wish a spanking would be the only consequence. There's going to be consequences much more severe than that, son. And you need to stop lying or your life's going to be terrible. And it really shook me to see my dad, this strong father figure that I relied on for everything in my life. As a little boy, he was looked up to him. He was in charge of everything in my life. It really shook me up, and it became important to me to tell the truth. And really wears on me to this day if I discover that I did not tell the truth. I try hard. I will share a few quotes with you about truth from various non-biblical sources, but they offer some wisdom. This is from wowforyou.com, truth quotes. That rather than love the money than fame, give me truth. That's Henry David Thoreau. Those who know the truth are not equal to those who love it. Confucius. You might have some scriptures in the back of your mind that you could kind of tie into some of these. It says, truth is like the sun. You can shut it out for a time, but it ain't going away. Elvis Presley, of all people. Stop hanging out with people that tell you what you want to hear. Hang out with people who tell you the truth. Correction from a friend? Know anybody? This one, you may find some irony in this quote. Let us begin by committing ourselves to the truth, to see it like it is, tell it like it is, to find the truth, to speak the truth, and to live the truth. Richard Nixon. In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. George Orwell. For though we love both the truth and our friends, piety requires us to honor the truth first. Aristotle. I've only got a few more. We all quote scriptures reflecting that God's ways are not man's ways, but because of sin, we rebel against the truth. Stephen Shortridge quotes about God. Two more. A lie is like a snowball. It starts off small and grows until a point where it gets so big it falls apart. And then the truth is discovered. Chris Hughes, inspirational quotes about love, life, and success on Funny Quotes. But it's definitely a true quote. And the last one, standing courageously for an unpopular opinion isn't easy, but the rewards of standing courageously for the truth will last forever. Rick Warren and Courage. So as you might have guessed, today I'm going to be talking about truth. And the first sermonette I gave in Spokesman's Club, that's a Spokesman's Club assignment. It's kind of the capstone you go through, and it's your 11th speech. And my sermonette was on truth, and it was 3 minutes. But no such luck today, it's going to be longer. So turn with me to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 11, we'll start. Get there myself. Ephesians 6, 11, we'll read through 13. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So, in the last sermon I gave, it was the title, Put on the Whole Armor of God, Part 1. And today, as you might have guessed, it's the Belt of Truth. Subtitle, Put on the Whole Armor of God, Part 2. We need to wear every single piece of that armor in order to wear the whole armor of God. And I'll give you a recap of the last sermon. We learned that we are Christian soldiers and we are fighting fierce spiritual battles. We learned that it is by God's power and might that we can win our battles. And we learned to know our enemy, Satan the devil, and to know his stratagems of divide and conquer. And we learned how important it is to stand our ground. And we stand in grace, we stand in the gospel, we stand in faith and in liberty and love. We learn that we must put on the whole armor of God in order to stand against the wiles of the devil. So Ephesians 6:14 is really where we're going to start this second sermon. Ephesians 6:14, I'm going to read the New International Version because it gives a little better understanding. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist with a breastplate of righteousness in place. So today we're going to learn about girding our waist with a belt of truth and why it's so important. Why did the Apostle Paul begin with the belt of truth as the first piece of armor? You know, not the shining breastplate of righteousness, not the huge shield of faith, or the powerful sword of the Spirit. He decided that he would list first the belt of truth when he's talking about the various pieces of armor. Ephesians 6:14 in the New King James Version, instead of the belt of truth buckled around your waist, it says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. That girded your, that part there in Hebrew, is peredzoname. And it's G4012, to gird all around or to fasten on one's belt. That's how in the New International Version you get the, you know, the Belt of Truth translation. Paul spent 2 years in prison, and he was very familiar with the Roman soldier's armor. God inspired him to write this brilliant analogy, comparing the Roman soldier's armor to the whole armor of God. The Roman soldier's belt was called a cingulum or balteus. According to the Expositor's Bible Commentary, abridged edition, the New Testament, the quote is, first, the belt tied tightly around the waist indicated the soldier was ready for action. It served to gather in the short tunic and help keep the breastplate in place when the latter was fitted on. From it hung the scabbard in which the sword was sheathed. In addition, the Nelson Study Bible says from the belt hung strips of leather to protect the lower body. And the Matthew Henry commentary says the belt girds on or secures all the other pieces of armor. You know, we heard in the sermonette how important it is to rely on the truth. Because if you're relying on something that isn't the truth, nothing else matters. Eventually, everything that's based on a lie and a falsehood is going to collapse. This is so important, brethren, that we understand why it is we need to wear this belt of truth. You know, you can buy a belt online. You can go into a brick-and-mortar store. You can get a leather belt. You can get a fabric belt. You can get a stretchy belt. You can get belts with buckles. You can get belts with clips. You can get belts you just tie. You can get dress belts. You can get casual belts. But where can you find the belt of truth? It's kind of important because we're told that's the first piece of armor that you need to put on. Brethren, God's word is the truth. You can find it in leather-bound. You see some people looking down at the phones. Hopefully they're not playing solitaire. They're going through scriptures. You have the digital version, paperbacks. So there's lots of places where you can find God's word. And we'll bring up another one a little bit later. But let's look at John 17:17. I think many of you have it memorized. We'll refresh our memory. John 17:17. We hear this, I believe, every Passover. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So we kind of got a clue as to where to go to find the belt of truth. Well, thy word is truth. Where is that word? Where does it come from? Well, let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The New International Version, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture, brethren, is God-breathed. The word, the written word, is our Bible. And it comes from God. It is inspired by God. Let's look at Isaiah 14:27. That's Isaiah 14:27. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? And you heard another scripture in the sermonette. When God says something's going to happen, when he gives us his word, like my dad, he's telling me, son, you need to give me your word that you didn't get a spank today at school and that it's the truth, you know. But when God gives us his word, it's infallible. He's infallible. So you have to trust in God's word. He made the best belt of all time. He made the belt of truth, the best belt ever made. So item number two, number one, was where can you find the belt of truth? This is, we gird our waist with a belt of truth. Why? To prepare for action. We gird our waist with a belt of truth to prepare for action. And in order to secure that belt around you, it's got to be nice and tight. You want your belt to cleave to you. Otherwise, if it's too loose, you know what's happened to me? My pants are a little big. I want the belt to be comfortable. I don't tighten it up quite enough. I'm walking around the house doing chores, go out in the garden. Oops, those pants are starting to slip. And your pants can fall off. And it's a little awkward. You'll trip over your pants and fall. Or it's just plain embarrassing to walk around half naked. You need to wear this belt of truth so it cleaves to you. Let's look at Psalm 25:5. We need instructions. We need instructions from God about that belt of truth. Psalm 25, 5. Psalm 25, 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. So we can go to God and say, you know, God, I want to wear this belt of truth properly. How do I wear it? How do I make sure I've girded myself with this belt so it's tight enough and not too loose? We can go to God and ask him to guide us in his truth. Let's look at 1 Peter 3:15. And it's so important we do that instead of just coming up and saying, well, I know the truth and I've got it all figured out. And you didn't even go to God and ask him for his help to guide you in that truth. 1 Peter 3:15. One of my favorite scriptures. We sanctify, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So that hope that is within us, brethren, is a huge part of the truth. If you're going to share that with people in meekness and fear, you need to go to God and seek the truth and go to his word so that you are ready to give a defense for the hope that is within you, the reason for the hope that's within you. All right, item number three, brethren. What does truth have to do with a belt? Item number three is, what does truth have to do with a belt? How do we know that what we read and what we hear is the truth? There's a lot of Bible translations out there. There's a lot of people speaking from the pulpit, telling you what to believe, giving you their version of God's word. What's the source of truth? Are you sure what you heard from the pulpit or read in literature is the truth? Well, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Thessalonians 5:21. Test all things, hold fast what is good. So you need to test what you hear from up here in the pulpit. Does it match with what God says in the Bible? And not, you know, putting your own personal interpretation on what's said, but what does God say about it? Am I, when I speak up here, contradicting what God says in his word? I hope not. I sure hope not. In Acts 17:11, we're told that the Bereans searched the scriptures daily. And by the way, what did they have as scriptures back then? They had the Old Testament, the scrolls. They didn't have a New Testament yet. But they searched the scriptures daily to prove that what they were told was the truth. We need to search the scriptures daily. We need to keep our belt of truth maintained. Let's look at Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verse 3, verses 3 through 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So you're saying, well, you know, we need to bind truth around our neck. You need to keep it close to you, but it's accompanied with mercy. And it's so important, brethren, that we do that. You know, we are told to give a defense for the reason for the hope that's within us in meekness and fear. And so we see that truth is also accompanied with mercy. You need to be convicted You need to be convicted that your beliefs are the truth, the absolute truth. Because that is going to help you endure to the end. That's where the faith comes in. You know, a belt encompasses the waist. You gird yourself with it. Does our conviction to the truth encompass us? Or you have some chinks, you have some gaps, you have some weak places in that belt? The spiritual piece of the whole armor of God, the belt of truth, is vital. Do you gird yourselves with the word of God? You know, God's belt of truth is vital because as the Roman soldier's belt provided a place for his sword, our sword, the sword of spirit, likewise needs that sheath. And the belt of truth allows us to carry the sword of the spirit and use it effectively. And we're going to talk about that piece of armor in another message. It's so important because you have to have that foundation of truth around you. That is what everything else rests upon, that everything comes together in God's truth, his word. The whole message about salvation, the helmet of salvation, that breastplate of righteousness. How do you be righteous? Why do we have salvation? What's the gospel of peace that you shod your feet with? You know, is that what we hear if we go to a Protestant church or if we believe in Islam or Buddhism or, you know, what is the truth? You need to believe you have the truth and you know that truth. And it holds everything else together that we believe in. Item number 4, what other lessons can we learn from the biblical analogy of having our waist girded by a belt? Let's look at Luke 12. Luke 12, brethren. Luke 12, 35 through 37. Let your waist be girded. Certainly ties in to the belt of truth. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared for action. Jesus Christ, when he returns, he's going to have a lot for us to do, and he wants us to be prepared. And blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Christ told us to be prepared, to always be watching and always be ready for his return. And if we're only wearing a piece or two of that whole armor of God, we're not going to be prepared. We're going to trip over our pants that fell to the ground because we don't have that belt of truth on. Let's look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 44 through 46. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. That again emphasizes that we have to be prepared wearing that whole armor of God, be prepared for action, and we're not going to be doing because we've been disabled, unable, and we're not wearing the right protective equipment when we are walking in God's paths of righteousness and we're not wearing that belt of truth, we're going to fall away. We're going to fall behind. We're not going to be prepared for Jesus Christ's return. Let's look at 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have to gird up our minds. We have to be mentally tuned in to God's truth, to the mind of Christ. This implies tucking in the long garments to be ready to move quickly, girding up the loins of your mind. The New International Version translates it to prepare your minds for action. Again, we're looking at wearing this whole armor of God, this belt of truth, prepares us for action, to grow in the Holy Spirit, to bear the fruit that God wants us to bear. What are the dangers of not wearing God's belt of truth? That's item number 5. And I just realized that I'm missing the last 2 pages of my notes. So if I may, I'm going to check in my briefcase really quick because I think they came loose. So if you can hold for just a second. I am back. I had the first version printed out in one folder, and now I have the second version, which is still the truth. It's even more thorough. It's not the wrong version of the truth. All right, back to the point. What are the dangers of not wearing God's belt of truth? Revelation 16:15. Let's go there. Revelation 16, verse 15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Well, it says garments. You'd think that blessed is he who keeps the whole armor of God. It doesn't say that, but if you take that belt off and you're not wearing that belt of truth, you're not going to be able to defend yourself against those arrows from the evil one, from Satan the devil. Don't be naked. Gird yourself with God's belt of truth. You don't want any weak or worn spots in that belt that would cause it to break apart, no longer supporting you in your whole armor of God. You need to inspect that belt continually. Maybe it's getting worn out. Maybe you need to replace it with a better belt of truth. Increase, you know, in the grace and knowledge, and go to God and ask him, God, I need to know more of your truth. I need to understand it better. Help me, you know, gird myself and encompass myself in your holy truth. Look at Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. It's Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It says, do not be conformed. Be a nonconformist. Be a nonconformist in a godly way. Here's a quote. It's from Psyche Roxas Mendoza. So even people who are in the world understand some things about truth from life experiences. It says, there is my truth, there is your truth, and there is their truth. The absolute truth is with God. I don't disagree with that. But what does most of the world believe? The truth is that there is no absolute truth. Debasish Mrida, M-R-I-D-H-A. He had a whole bunch of stuff in there that was atheistic and that sort of thing. But most people believe in their own truth, and they change it as it's convenient, as it meets their own selfish purposes. And as we heard in the sermonette, you know, you put your trust and your faith in things that are going to change perhaps tomorrow. A whole different set of values, and all of a sudden that's bad, and the other thing is evil, and it just, you know, there's no solidity to it. There is no permanence to the world's truth. God's truth is eternal. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2:15. So what did we do? That's 3. 2 Timothy 2:15. What do we do to make sure that that belt of truth is going to be secure and fastened around us? Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The New King James Version Study Bible, second edition, Thomas Nelson. Keep that one at home. It's huge and it's a little fine print, but it's a good study Bible. The commentary part of it says, truth defines the nature of Scripture. It is a beacon of truth in the darkness of all kinds of falsehoods. You know, brethren, sometimes I think we get overwhelmed by lots of falsehoods. We get all kinds of YouTube videos, things out there, and one person says one thing, this is, you know, really great for you, it's going to make you happy, and another person says, no, this is going to make you happy, and what do you believe? Well, you go to God, and you pray and ask for His guidance, and you look at His Word to help you rightly divide the word of truth. You start with His Scripture. You start with prayer and fasting, and you'll find your way. God will light the path. Look at Luke 13:27. This is important to remember. Luke 13:27. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where you are from, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. You need to be workers in righteousness. You need to tell God's truth. You need to live God's truth. You need it to encompass you. It needs to be part of your life every day, day in and day out. Let's look at what John says in 3 John. 3 John, going way back towards the end of your Bible. 3 John, verses 3, 4, and 8. There's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I used to go up to church in Reading, and we had myself and two other Johns there, and they called each of them. They said, oh, here's 1st John. Oh, there's 2nd John. There's 3rd John. But anyway, it just reminds me of that every time I go in here. 3 John 1, verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. He rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth. Doesn't just say apostles, deacons, elders. It's when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become what? Fellow workers of truth. So, brethren, in conclusion, Number one, there's no excuse for not knowing the truth. Ignorance of the truth, not knowing where to find the belt of truth, is because you do not seek the truth. I once had a county council, really sharp lady, said that ignorance of the law is no excuse. She was an attorney. And, you know, volumes and volumes of laws. I didn't even look it up. But, you know, we have God to turn to guide us in His truth, which is the critical and the most important and the permanent truth. And we can go to Him and He can interpret it for us. We don't have to be an attorney. So we know where to find it. So there's no excuse to not know the truth, to not know where to buy that belt of truth. Number two, knowing the truth and then ignoring the fact that you should gird your waist with the belt of truth leaves you naked and exposed to fatal wounds from Satan's arrows. And number three, lies are like termites that eat away at our spiritual integrity, which is built on God's truth. It's bad enough when Satan attempts to deceive us. Don't deceive yourself into believing you don't need to wear God's belt of truth. Number four, keep God's belt of truth well oiled. You think, you know, if you had a leather belt, you'd keep it oiled. I have a solid leather belt at home. It's about that thick, like a work belt, and that my stepson gave me. It's not the bonded leather, but sometimes you can oil them up, and they'll last a lot longer. They won't dry out and break up. We keep God's belt of truth well oiled by abiding in His Word daily, living, breathing, and eating His Word as you take your daily walk through life. I'm going to look something else up here. The other thing that I wanted to mention to you is Jesus Christ did say He is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. We find the truth when we look to Jesus Christ and His example that He gave us. He showed us how to make that daily walk through life. And brethren, let's look at John 8. John 8, verses 31 through 32. Yep. It would help if I went to John instead of Luke. Yeah, I think you all know this pretty well. If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, if we abide in the Word of God, you know that you will encompass yourself with that belt of truth. But you also have to use it, not just put it on. You have to, you know, proceed in your life with the actions that Jesus Christ commands, to love God and to love one another. And to share with great joy and have answers about that hope that is in you. You can be confident when you have girded your waist with a belt of truth that you have eternal life encompassing you. You have the love of God encompassing you. You have salvation encompassing you. Rise up and stand, therefore, and fight the good fight, wearing the whole armor of God with your waist girded with a belt of truth.